Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, Monday edition of the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. We're at stevejonesshow.com, and Steve will be there in just a moment in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You can get in contact with us anytime. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. And you can subscribe to our podcast. We're on iTunes, Apple Podcast app, Google Play. Search Steve Jones Show. Drop the shows right to your smartphone and tablets. You can listen to them at your leisure. So last Friday was Big Ten Football Media Day wrapping up in Chicago. And head football coach James Franklin spoke to the media. And we have some of that audio for you this afternoon, as well as the head of officials of the conference, Bill Carrillo. Got some of his audio as well, so they have that for you today as well. And also, for Philadelphia Eagles fans, get you fired up for training camp. Players are scheduled to report by the end of the day on Wednesday, and first day training camp will be Thursday. And Ed Kratz will join us from Sports Exchange, also writes for Eagle Maven. So we'll get a little training camp preview from Ed, and also some reaction on the re-signing of Darren Sproles, who will be back in Philadelphia. So we'll be with you live till 5, and then we'll have our late-day news roundup, 5:06. Ashley Thomas will be at the anchor desk, and then we'll have CBS Sports Radio tonight after 7. Phillies have the night off. They'll start a quick two-game series in Detroit tomorrow night, and then they'll have a day game on Wednesday. Aaron Nola scheduled to be on the mound tomorrow night for the Phillies. We'll have it for you here on 1070 WKOK. Phillies getting 2 out of 3 in Pittsburgh over the weekend, including an 11-inning matchup, 2-1 at PNC Park. And by being there in person watching it, it just felt like there was this long stretch where neither team wanted to win the ballgame. But thanks to Rhys Hoskins with a home run down the left field line in the top half of the 11th inning, breaking that 1-1 tie for the win for the Phillies. And the Drew Smyly Project, Drew Smyly Experiment, is underway. The left-hander pitching 6 innings, only giving up 1 run. That 1 run was in the top of the bottom of the first for Pittsburgh. Only gave up 1 run, 4 hits, 2 walks, and struck out 8 on 96 pitches. So you really could not have asked for a better outing than what Drew Smyly gave yesterday. But you combined Saturday and Sunday's games, the Phillies with only 9 hits. With all that firepower in this lineup, we keep talking about Harper, Hoskins, JT Realmuto, Michael Franco, Cesar Hernandez, Scotty Jetpacks. Just too many games with 4 runs or less, and they really got to get things rolling, for sure. And we'll get in touch here with Steve in the Sunbury Motor Studio as he gets things reset on his end after his.
There we go.
Hey, welcome back, kind sir.
There you go. Yeah, I had a little power outage here. So I had to. We have a power outage here in the studio. You then have to reset.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what day that was last week.
I have no idea.
That could have been Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, you have to reset everything in here. Yeah. Like, okay, I got to go here. Boom, boom, boom. Like, there's a series of buttons you have to hit to do this whole thing. Right, to get it, because what it does is it knocks everything out. So when it knocks everything out, I even have to reset the headphone monitor and also reset the on-air monitor. I mean, besides all the other buttons. And the fact that over the years I'm able to do this is actually remarkable.
It's not your first rodeo.
No. Yeah, but technology is... I have learned to adapt over the years with technology. I mean, so I will give myself some semblance of credit that I'm able to somehow, some way, come up with a way to do this. And we have. It's great to be back. We're going to hear James Franklin's press conference for Friday. We're going to do that on the show today. Bill Carollo, head of officiating. Now, who's been on our show before, but he had a press conference. We're going to hear from him. Joe Rutter of the Tribune. Steeler camp opens up this week. I know you're all excited. And in Pittsburgh, it's a huge, huge deal. You want to know why? Because their baseball team's the Pirates. So the second the Steelers play, they cannot wait. Hey, good news.
Yeah, the Pirates have been struggling for sure. 2-7 since the All-Star break. And Josh Bell, since his appearance in the Home Run Derby, he is a whopping 4-29.
So let's transition back to what I said about the Home Run Derby. What did I say about it? What does it do? It ruins swings.
I'll tell you another case in point. So when Bobby Abreu was in the Home Run Derby when he was with
Same
the Phillies,
thing.
Oh, my God, you thought that the well ran dry after that.
It ruins swings because it's there's something about it where you're just trying so hard, and it's like, and it's not just a swing. It is a bunch of swings, and you know what? It is extremely fatiguing. I mean, to advance in that thing is really, the fatigue, unbelievable. Although, people don't realize how hard it is to hit a home run. Okay. And so I'm sitting there years ago, and it was the year Brock Holt, who's played so well with the Red Sox, right? Brock Holt was playing for the Spikes, and they had the All-Star game here. Okay. And so part of it, they decided to have a celebrity home run hitting contest. Now, I'm not going to get into who made the statement. Okay, I'm not going to do that. Okay. But, like, a week before, this guy says to me, he says, I'm gonna hit 8 or 9 home runs in that thing. I might even hit double digits. I said, you are not going to hit anything. He says, what are you talking about? I said, you are going to hit none. He says, what? Not true. And a couple days leading up to it, he says, I'm going to hit, and he tells me again, same thing. And I tell him again, I said, you aren't going to hit any. I said, you don't realize how far out that wall is. I said, I know it says 325 feet down the line here. And I know it says 320 down the right field line. I said, you'll be lucky to get it to the warning track. Okay. All right. Well, the guy gets up to the plate, and I'm talking takes two really great swings. And he flies out. One to right field, one to left field. I mean, fly out means he was just caught by whomever's fielding out there. And he motions for me to come over. And I had the microphone because I was announcing the Home Run Derby. I turn the mic off and I lean in. He looks at me and he says, oh, my God, you're right. I'm not going to hit any. I said, I know. I said, it's just too far away. So it's hard to do, and it can wreck swings. Can wreck swings. Now, there's been a lot of talk that the Pirates might talk to the Dodgers about Vasquez. I will say in no uncertain terms, do not trade him. Don't trade him. I don't know. We got prospects. Excuse me, I watch prospects every single night. And guess what? I wouldn't trade for prospects. Just a thought. Sean, how have you been? Doing well?
Yeah, going awesome. It's been going awesome. Kept our cool here after the heat wave over the weekend. I had a chance
Was it warm?
A little toasty.
Was it warm?
Just a bit. Just a bit. Was able to break away to Pittsburgh yesterday, caught the Pirates-Phillies game, took the nephew out, his parents, had a blast.
So you saw the Rhys Hoskins home run, huh?
We did. Caught the Rhys Hoskins homer, yep. And at one point, was it third, fourth inning, right around in there, was about a rain delay of about close to 30 minutes. We had to dash inside twice to come out of the weather. But other than that, after that, cleared out nice and had a great stay. Rolled in and out of the tunnel smoothly, no problems. So they didn't have 25,000 there yesterday. At least their alleged attendance number that they announced. But a lot of empty seats, but there were quite a few Phillies fans in there over the weekend.
Well, John Mozeliak, the general manager of the Cardinals, was here last night. He was at the Spikes game last night.
Oh, that's right. Pirates, Cardinals start a series tonight, yeah.
Right, and I saw John. I was talking to John. I said, if I recall correctly, John, I said, your dad went to Penn State. And he looks at me and goes, yeah. He says, geez, I can't believe you remembered that. I said, yeah. He says, yeah, it's like part of me. It's like being home here when I come back to the park. So he had a chance to watch some of his prospects. And I remember there are a couple things that would happen at this time of the year with trades. I've now talked with enough general managers to get a feel for their thought process. Number one, you do want to be a good trade partner. The entire idea of trading is not going in saying, oh, we are going to rip these guys off. That's what we're going to do. We're going to rip them off. Really? Well, guess what? If you then get a reputation for doing that, guess what happens? Nobody wants to trade with you in the future. If you're that kind of cannibal when it comes to trading, where the entire idea is not only am I going to do great, but I'm going to rip you off. So you want to be able to be a good trade partner where you're acquiring what you need to get and conversely making sure that there is some return because it's trying to be as fair as possible. Okay. So there are two critical elements when it comes to making a deal. Number one, you need to know, and this isn't obvious, but it's easy. It's an obvious. You need to know who you are acquiring. Right? Who are you acquiring? Are they any good? Okay. Number two, you also need to know who you're giving up. And that's why you scout at every level of your organization. You scout at every level. Why? That way you know that low-level, that alleged low-level guy that you're giving up, right? You just want to make sure what you're doing. Which has always been the key to this show, don't you think, Sean? We always try to figure out and know what we're doing.
Spot on, yeah.
With that, we will take a break. We're going to hear from, let's see, what do you think? Bill Carollo next half hour, then we'll do James Franklin, then we'll have Joe Rutter. How about that order? As Sean coughs.
Actually, that wasn't me coughing. That was from the bullpen.
tell him to go out and sell.
No, no, that wasn't. Not you know who. No. He is out there. Selling, though, we'll find out.
Oh, I thought you were just making a statement that he's out there. I already knew that.
Right. Not front page news. No.
We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Marcus Reed and Sunbury, News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Yeah, the Phillies' motto is quite simple. At least in this state, we win. All right, so it is the talking season, although the talking season is 51 weeks out of the year on this station with us. I'd say 52, but I took last week off. And so it's always the talking season here, but in college football, it is referred to as the talking season. You've already had SEC, Big 12, ACC and Big Ten Media Days. This week it's Pac-12 Media Days. Then you get ready for the season. Teams will go to camp at the end of this week. Penn State's going to camp? No. It is the teams that are playing in week zero. So Hawaii and Arizona, Florida and Miami start their training camps the end of the week. I want to say on Friday. That's how close we are now. And, let's see, in the high school season would be 20, 31 days away?
And how about 30, this?
32 days away?
Yeah, how about this? Tomorrow is District 4 Football Media Day in Williamsport at the Country Club.
Are you kidding me?
Not kidding you at all. No, that
okay,
is
tomorrow. Yeah. Do you know who used to play golf every year at the Williamsport Country Club for several years?
I'll say you, but am I wrong?
No, I've never played there.
Joe?
I mean, nobody's invited me. No, George? Joe did not play. Joe rarely, if ever, played golf. Rarely, if ever. When he was younger, he did, but later, no. Ben Hogan a couple times went out and played Williamsport Country Club. The great Ben Hogan. About that. And you know what? Somebody else, Jimmy Johnson, the race car drivers, played there.
Wow. You know, less than a month ago, Golf Channel just released a new movie on Ben Hogan, which was terrific.
I watched it.
Yeah, it was
terrific. I watched it. It was really good. You know, you just felt like with Ben Hogan, and I know, he had great tragedy in his life. Great tragedy in his life. So I understand that. His father committed suicide, the horrific car accident he and his wife were in. But he just felt like, I know he was a perfectionist, but I just never got the feeling Ben Hogan enjoyed himself. Now, when you're playing in that much pain, I don't know if you can, so I'm trying to be very fair here. He just got the feeling, and you know what, who really was bothered by Ben Hogan was Arnold Palmer. And you want to know why? Because Arnold Palmer never felt like Ben Hogan gave him respect. And it always bothered him. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855. Or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by the great people at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Why go with Purdy? Number one, they have access to all the insurance out there. You need auto, home, life, business. They'll find you exactly the insurance that's needed to make sure that you are covered. They will then look very hard to find you absolutely the best rate, the best price, critical. Hey, look, they need insurance too. And since they need insurance too, they understand completely that, you know, price means something. And then if something were to happen, customer service means everything to them. And they will go to work for you the second it is needed. And they'll do it in such a way where you're going to feel like, wow, well, they really went to bat for me. That's Purdy Insurance. They're just good people who really know their business, but they're good people above all. They care. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. If there's always a unifying theme for Penn State fans in the speaking engagements I have, and I've been able to do, I think, half of them so far. I've got four scheduled in the month of August. York, Harrisburg, obviously our get-together coming up in Lewisburg, and then I have one in Pittsburgh. Jack and I are doing that one together. And it's whether it's at a quarterback club or it happens to be at a speaking engagement, it is officiating. Officiating's bad. Officiating's against Penn State. Why does Penn State always get ripped off? Okay. And people usually get frustrated by my responses that, it's, you know, I don't think it's as biased as you think. People make mistakes. And I assure them in no uncertain terms that one of the reasons I feel that strongly about it is that over the years I've had a chance to talk with Bill Carollo. Bill Carollo was the referee in two Super Bowls during the course of his career in the NFL. He's now the head of the supervisor of officials for the Big Ten, also overseeing the MAC. And Bill's been great with me over the years. If I've ever had a question, I said, Bill, I need a clarification. Right? And part of it is, too, you also have to develop a reputation as an announcer, too, that you're not out there, oh, that was bad, that was awful, that was terrible, you know, where you just sit there and just talk about whatever and go to the next play. And so they'll take your call and they'll talk to you. Hey, I need an explanation on this. I remember the Jesse James one time was called for being offside on an onside kick at Michigan. And Bill explained to me that plane that is infinite that goes straight up from the line, that Jesse's head was over the line. He said, now, if I'm standing there, he said, do I call it? No. I would just look at the foot. He says, technically, is it called correct? Yeah, but. Nice, good, honest answer. Now, it doesn't change the play, but it tells you the type of integrity of the person I'm dealing with, that it wasn't just black and white to him, and he gave a good explanation of it as to why. So Bill Carollo had an opportunity at Big Ten Media Days to talk about officiating, where it's going, what they're looking at, and why.
A couple things I'd like to cover. Number one, 2019 is an off year for rule changes. And the only time we'll make changes to a rule, unless it has to do with player health and safety. And there's five significant areas this year that we made changes to. I want to cover those quickly, and then I'll give us a little more time in the Q&A area if you want to dive into it a little bit deeper, and we have a breakout session afterwards that can cover the new rules in detail. Player health and safety, number maybe the most important one, is the targeting area. We've made a couple changes in targeting that are significant. All elements of targeting have to be confirmed, meaning that there won't be a stands. The ruling on the field last year, if we weren't sure, the play would stand, and that player would be disqualified. This year, all elements have to be confirmed. If not, the player stays in the game. That might be about 10% of plays last year. Based on the numbers last year, we'll have 10% possibly less targeting calls this year. And here's the idea behind it and the thinking, the rationale, is we want to get this play correct. It's a very important play as far as health and safety, but it's also the penalty is our largest penalty. So we want to make sure that we get that correct, and if we aren't sure, the player will stay in the game. On the flip side of it, if a player commits 3 targeting fouls in 1 season, we call this a progressive penalty. He'll be disqualified for that game when he commits his 3rd targeting call, but he also will sit out 1 full additional game. It's a pretty heavy penalty. So we're going to be working with the teams and with the players, especially after they get the 1st one, and we're going to give them warnings. But if they end up with the 3rd targeting penalty, it will have to be a progressive penalty and 1 full game from there. The next area that we made a change to is 2-man wedges. About 4 or 5 years ago, we got rid of the 3-man wedge. And our data tells us, and we collaborated with the NFL as well as with the FBS games, that 2-man, 3-man wedges are very, very dangerous. Number one, kickoffs, when we have those wedge plays, are our most dangerous play as far as injuries, and we get a lot of concussions trying to break up that 2-man wedge. So when 2 players intentionally come together to form a wedge, it'll be a 15-yard penalty for an illegal wedge block. The only exceptions to that rule is if we have an obvious onside kick, the kickoff goes out of bounds, there's a fair catch involved on the kickoff, or if the ball goes in the end zone, it'll be a touchback. So we're going to eliminate that type of play there. The 3rd area is blindside blocks. You cannot, with force, attack an opponent and put a block on that player in open space. That will be considered a blindside block, a 15-yard penalty. And that's a new rule this year. So you can't really de-cleat people. A lot of times you see it on kickoffs, change of possessions, interceptions, punt returns. You have to make sure that player sees you and he can defend himself. Otherwise, it'll be a penalty. Blocking below the waist, we've made a lot of changes in the last 10 years. This is a minor change, but we want to align Team B fouls. Team B is the defense. Team A is the offense as far as officiating terms are concerned. And now Team B low blocks mirror exactly what the low blocks are for the Team A. So that's a good change. And the last area has to do with overtime. No changes to overtime until we get to the 5th overtime. Last year we had 1 game in FBS, 7 overtimes, and the year before we had another one of the 7. When you get over 250 plays in a game, it's dangerous to the player's health. So when we get to the 5th overtime, we're not going to put the ball at the 25-yard line. Everything remains the same in the first 4. We're going to give them extra timeouts between the 2nd and the 4th overtime. But when we get to the 5th, we're going to move the ball from the 25-yard line down to the 3-yard line, and they're going to have 1 shot at scoring a touchdown from there. All right, so we're going to try to we don't want the game to end in a tie, but we want the game to keep moving, you know, and we want it to end once we get to that point. So those are the major changes as far as rule changes are concerned. Let me just touch on, before we open it up for some questions, a little bit about our program and where we're at. The Big Ten's been around a long, long time, you know, 100 and some years from the 1896, longest standing conference. We've done a lot of really good things in the Big Ten, team-wise, championship-wise, student-athlete-wise, et cetera. And I'm a firm believer that we've done a wonderful job on the officiating side, and we've done that for a long time. I'm not talking about during my tenure, but for the last 40, 50 years, under the leadership of Jim Delaney, who's more of a hands-on football person. Most people don't know that, but Jim is very involved. Very involved in football, and he understands it, and he cares about the student athletes, and he cares about the integrity and fairness of the rules. And we've done a lot, and maybe the biggest number one gift that he gave our officials was replay 15 years ago in 2004. He led the country in bringing college NCAA football with replay. And that's been great. So technology is emerging, changing the game. We have a lot of changes around us. You heard from the coaches the last 2 days, all the changes that are coming around their game and how the schemes and the game's going from 3 yards and a cloud of dust to a lot of passing and so on. We have to adjust to that. But I would say the technology in this area, the replay, has helped us a lot. Now, there's a lot of other things going on in technology that help. I may be more of a traditionalist. I think it's, you know, it's still blocking and tackling and winning and getting the calls correct and giving them a fair shot at that. But we're always open to look at technology. And I've personally made trips in the last 24 months to all the professional headquarters, the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, as well as the NFL, to see what they're doing with technology. So best practices, learning what they're doing, how they're doing, how they're training, how they're trying to get the calls right, etc. So we're listening. We talk to all the other collegiate conferences out there, what they're doing with command centers, and so on and so forth. We feel we like what we're doing today. You know, and it may be a little old-fashioned. We like to use the technology where it fits, and replay technology is there to fix the egregious errors, not fix every single mistake. So we're concerned about the length of games out there, but the technology certainly can help us. But certainly we are going around and listening and seeing what's out there because we want to continue to improve, give the best program, best officiating program to our players, our coaches, and our fans. So that's out there. But you know what? Even with the greatest technology, never been a perfect game. There's mistakes by players, by coaches, and of course officials. And I've documented several times that we make 5 or 6 mistakes every single game. And I told you, I like what we're doing. I like our people. I would say today, our officiating staff is as strong as it's ever been in my last 10 years, the 10 years that I've been here. And I've been associated with the Big Ten Conference since the late 70s, started full-time in 1980, and it's never been as good. Our officials today are way better than when I was on the field in the 80s. There's really 3 fundamental principles that we have in officiating. I want to make it as simple as possible. You know, first of all, it's our training program. Secondly, it's integrity. And third is accountability. I want to just touch on each of those categories because I think it's important to note that, you know, it sounds pretty basic, but we need really good training. And the Big Ten provides the technology, the people, the resources, the budgets to give our officials maybe the best training in the country. And I benchmark them against all the professional sports. So I really like what we're doing in training. But we probably spend more time on the training side to find the right candidates, getting the right skill sets for people on the field, finding the right skill set people that are in the replay booth. They're totally different, and we spend a lot of time on the front end vetting all the people, all the candidates that come to us. And our bar is set really, really high as far as if you want to come into the Big Ten and be an official in the Big Ten, it's set really high. And I think we have a much better chance to be successful if we get the right people in the program. So a lot of the things that we do, we give them Wunderlich tests, you know, to check their aptitude and their intelligence. We give them personality tests. We give them battery of written tests. We give them video tests. We do online interviews. And by the time they come in, my first question, I always ask them, well, why do you want to be an official, men and women that come in to apply into the Big Ten? And the number one answer is our training program. So I feel pretty good about what we're doing on the training side, and that's really important. It sounds old-fashioned, roll up the sleeves, you know, blue collar, but you got to work. You got to work really hard to get to that level. And then if you can make it, that's great. And when I take a look at the training program, the people that have come in, when I took over, and I took over one of the greatest programs in the country under the leadership of Jim Delaney, his vision, whether it's technology or getting the right people, Dave Perry had the most respected officiating program in the country. So it's hard to take over an icon like that, Dave Perry. But we want to get a little bit better. That's what we've been doing. The second area that we've put a lot of focus on is integrity. If there's any gray area in our game, and if I had to measure my officials on one particular thing, it's integrity. And once we lose that integrity, we've lost the game. It really would crush the game, integrity. So we put a lot of time in that area. And if any, I mean, we have fans that call me all the time and say, these officials are favoring this team versus another team and so on. And any accusation is credible as far as I'm concerned. We look at it, we check the source, and we try to document what they're trying to say. But the reality is, when something like that happens, My first reaction is report it up to the commissioner. We get outside people to look into it, investigate it, and if we need be, we'll bring it right to the FBI. That's how serious this is. And I ask my officials, they have to sign a contract every year, an expectations letter, and that's exactly what's in there. You know, what they do on the field is really, really important. We want to get the calls right. What they do off the field is equally as important. So it's they have to have the capability when they come in. They have to keep improving, but they have to have the right character, and that's the integrity element that we look for. And the last is really accountability. We want accountability for myself. If we make mistakes in the game, I'll take full responsibility. I trained them. Our staff put them out there. We assigned them. Full responsibility there. At the same time, these officials are graded on every single play throughout the year. And there's candid, confidential conversation with all the coaches, with the ADs, with the administrators, as high as the presidents of each university. Jim Delaney is involved in that with myself. And that confidential conversation is really, really important, a candid conversation with the teams, and that's what builds trust between us. We don't go public with these evaluations for a lot of reasons. I know people are experimenting with that, but we feel that what we do internally is important. Now, like I said, there's never been a perfect game. If we make a mistake and we give five downs and it's a winning touchdown, that's not a good thing. We're going public and we're going to acknowledge those errors. But they're judgment calls in every single game, some tough calls. The coaches will get the answers. I may tell the media, and a lot of you will text me or call me, what do you think? And off the record, I'll tell you that, you know, we like the call, we don't like the call. But that's a really important area. The accountability for my officials is critical. And our officials know it's hard to get in, and it's easy to get bounced out from that standpoint. So a lot of things are going on in the program. We try to manage it. I don't want to say the old-fashioned way, but it's a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication. They put more time in it than they ever have, way more time than when I did it, when I came into the Big Ten, and we're really satisfied. When I take a look at all the elements, when I look back, you know, when I talk about the recruiting, the training program, our evaluation program, the accountability, and those candid conversations with our ADs and our coaches is really critical, really important for our success.
Carollo, Supervisor of Officials for the Big Ten. I think he touched on a number of critical elements there. And it was important, I thought, what he said there. And he covered some of the areas where, as a fan, you're probably not satisfied. But that's what makes you a fan. But they do take what you think seriously. James Franklin, next half hour. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. Officiating is obviously very touchy. Now, the one area where we talked about Jim Delaney's leadership by bringing in instant replay and so forth. Let's be honest about that. In reality, that was the person that pushed that and got it on the table was Joe Paterno. It's amazing how Joe pushed hard on instant replay. Joe pushed hard on a 12th team for the Big Ten. Joe pushed hard on a championship game. What do we have today? Instant replay, 12th team, now 14, and a championship game. Okay, interesting. Well, he was the one that pushed. But eventually they did do it, the instant replay part of it. And, look, it's a great tool, but I think he said something that's very important that we've talked about before. It is there to correct the egregious error. It is not there to perfect the game. And that is to me, that's a problem with certain leagues right now. He's talking about best practices. All right. Well, part of best practices is applying it correctly. And there are a couple leagues, and the NFL is one of them, where they're trying to be perfect. You can't be perfect. You just can't be. And you can't waste everybody's time in the pursuit of perfection either. I mean, these are forms of entertainment. And we have to remember that in a form of entertainment, that you've got, you know, that if you have a chance in a timely fashion to correct something that is an egregious error, great. But if you're going to take forever looking for something minute, a fingernail or something like that, did they graze a blade of grass? Now you're wasting my time. And that becomes a big problem when you start wasting the fans' time, where the fans like, let's see what the replay says. So he's correct when he says that. And I thought he gave the right answers, because he brought up something that was interesting about reporting something to the FBI. And this was brought out when I've talked about the possibility of sportsbook in state for years. And I mentioned that the Supreme Court ruling would eventually come down. And when it did, then states would start to get it. So we've been on the sportsbook thing for years. Finally, it came out. Now what's the next step? You do get concerned. Is can you get to somebody? The integrity of the game is critical. So that's why you have to be on the lookout all the time to make sure. Because if you don't have integrity in your game, people aren't going to believe what they're seeing.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.